Hey, everybody. Welcome to Josh Peck Disclosure. I am your host, Josh Peck. Today, I wanted to talk about Nikola Tesla frequencies and this mysterious 369 conundrum. He was quoted as referencing those numbers, and we're going to talk about that, what that means, how it has to do with frequencies and all of that. First, if you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe, click the bell, let YouTube know that you want to be notified whenever I put up a new video, which is every single day you get a new video. And also make sure to check out joshpeckdisclosure.com. So Nikola Tesla has always been interesting to me. He was an absolutely brilliant man, completely underrated in terms of current public school history lessons. He was a Serbian-American inventor, engineer, physicist, and futurist. His biggest claim to fame in his life was his contributions to the design of the modern alternating current electricity supply system. Now, since the 1990s, there's been this resurgence of popular interest in the life and inventions of Tesla. The rise in interest has also led to incredible stories, which seem entirely too fantastic to be true. But are they? Now, I'm going to be referencing an article that I wrote. And if you want all the citations for the article, you can go in the description below, click on the link to the article, and you have 25 citations right there for you. So first, what does this have to do with frequency? Well, in 1935, while he was 79 years old, Nikola Tesla claimed a mechanical oscillator he built caused an earthquake in downtown New York City in 1898. Now, Tesla said he was experimenting with a 7-inch long mechanical oscillator when, after tuning it to the correct resonance frequency of the building he was occupying, a great shaking of the building and neighboring buildings occurred. The shaking became so intense that the police actually arrived. There were complaints. The police were called. Tesla claimed that he destroyed the oscillator with a hammer in order to make it stop. Now, while telling the story, Tesla also claimed the machine could destroy the Empire State Building with only 5 pounds of air pressure if attached to a girder. And the story gained Tesla's electromechanical oscillator the nickname Tesla's Earthquake Machine. Tesla also used the oscillations from the device to set frequency in his high-frequency electrical and wireless transmission experiments. There have also been claims of the device having negative consequences to the human body, even to the point of people who were subjected to its vibrations, which seemed to have a laxative effect, immediately running to the bathroom afterwards. But can something as seemingly innocuous as a frequency really have such extreme effects? So what is a frequency? The word frequency is defined as the number of occurrences of a repeating event per unit of time. So the unit of frequency is called hertz, and it's named after German physicist Heinrich Hertz. 1 hertz equals an event occurring once per second. So, for example, if 71 events occur within 15 seconds, the frequency would be 4.73 hertz. You just divide the numbers. Frequency equals events divided by time. Now, when considering the frequency of sound, it refers to pitch. So sound, technically speaking, is a vibration wave of pressure and displacement in the air. The frequencies the human ear can hear are typically limited to between 20 hertz and 20 kilohertz or 20,000 hertz. So Nikola Tesla's 369 earthquakes. Now, while finding a direct citation is problematic, I don't know when or really technically even if. I mean, he's generally quoted as saying this, but when and where, I don't know. But Nikola Tesla is generally believed to have said, quote, "If you only knew the magnificence of the 3, 6, and 9, then you would have the key to the universe." Now, this has led many speculations as to the meanings of the numbers 3, 6, and 9. One theory is that it had to do with a particular set of earthquakes. So in 1898, Tesla told the story of causing the earthquake in New York City, or that was when it supposedly happened. Now, 1 year later, in 1899, he and several of his assistants commenced the construction of a laboratory in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tesla moved there in order to study the conductive nature of low air pressure to hopefully implement into wireless transmission of electrical power. But while experimenting, Tesla produced artificial lightning with discharges of millions of volts and up to 135 feet long. Thunder from the energy was heard 15 miles away in Cripple Creek, Colorado. People walking along the street saw sparks jumping between their feet and the ground. Sparks shot out from the waterline taps when touched. Light bulbs within 100 feet of Tesla's laboratory lit up even when they were turned off. Horses ran from their stalls after getting shocked through their metal shoes, and even butterflies were electrified and swirled in circles with blue halos of St. Elmo's fire around their wings. Now, around the same time, there was a series of earthquakes, all being a magnitude 7 or more, at Yakutat Bay, Alaska. And some people have believed these were caused by Tesla's experiments in Colorado Springs. The most powerful of the series was a magnitude 8 earthquake that struck on September 10th, 1899. It lasted 90 minutes. It was followed by many aftershocks. It was felt for a distance of more than 600 miles from Fairbanks all the way to Sitka. 5 years later, geologists visited the area and found dead barnacles and other shellfish everywhere. They also saw several uplifted beaches and areas of subsidence as much as 6 feet deep. Some have made the connection between these earthquakes and the numbers 3, 6, and 9 because the first earthquake was felt on September 3rd, while others following on the 6th and the 9th. And some have even done math with the dates to produce the numbers 3, 6, and 9 as a reoccurring theme. So if you take September 3rd, well, September's the 9th month, 3rd day, 1899, you get 9 from that when you add the single digits together. 9 and 9 are 18. So you have 18 and 18, 1, 8 is 9, 1, 8 is 9. You have 2 9s. Add those, you get 18 again, add the 1 and 8, and you get 9. So there are people that have done the math in that way with the single digits to produce those numbers. So between the numbers of the dates of the earthquakes and 369, some say that it's a reoccurring theme. Now, another connection made to the three mysterious numbers of Tesla is found with his interactions with Guglielmo Marconi, who was an Italian inventor and electrical engineer known for his work on the long-distance radio transmission, the developments of Marconi's law, and a radio telegraph system. Now, in 1915, Nikola Tesla attempted to sue the Marconi company for infringement of his wireless tuning patents. Marconi's first radio patent had been awarded in the U.S. in 1897. However, his 1900 patent submission covering improvements to radio transmission had been rejected many times over on the grounds that it infringed on other existing patents, including two 1897 Tesla wireless power tuning patents. Now, Marconi's 1900 patent was finally approved in 1904. Tesla's 1915 case against Marconi was unsuccessful and it went nowhere. However, a related case came up in which the Marconi company tried to sue the U.S. government over World War I patent infringements. So a Supreme Court of the United States decision in 1943 restored the prior patents of Nikola Tesla and several others. The country declared that Marconi's claim to certain patented improvements were questionable. Therefore, the company could not claim infringements of those same patents. Now, since the case involved patents relating to Tesla's Colorado Spring experiments, and strangely enough, the case number is 369, some have been led to believe there is a connection between Tesla's mysterious experiments, his feud with Marconi, and the numbers 3, 6, and 9. Now, our existence, to kind of think about what these numbers might mean, our existence, both objectively and subjectively, is a large series of differing hierarchies with less things of higher value at the top and more things of lower values at the bottom. I mean, we get this with everything. Everything in nature is set up this way. Everything from governments to wealth distribution to the personal choices you make every day is a complex series of hierarchies. Even the way that nature is created, the universe, the star system, it's set up the same way. Even Tesla's mysterious numbers of 3, 6, and 9 is an example of a hierarchy, with 3 being on the top and 9 being on the bottom. So is it possible that Tesla was referring to hierarchies if and when he talked of the key to the universe? Now, Price's Law was developed by Derek J. D. Sola Price, and it dictates that the square root of a certain creative collection will generate half of the results. Okay, that sounds kind of confusing. So, for example, if you have, say, 100 people working in your company, 10 of them will do half the work and the remaining 90 will do the other half. So in similar terms, if you have 9 people in your company, 3 of them will do half of the work and 6 will do the other half. So even right there, you have 3, 6, 9. Now, however, this is not restricted to just people working at companies. Price's law dictates how nature runs even. It applies to the energy output of stars, height of trees in the Amazon, human IQ, I mean, everything else. Nature runs as a complex series of hierarchies, and these are subject to Price's law. So could this fundamental aspect of nature be what Tesla was referring to with the numbers of 3, 6, and 9? Is it possible that Tesla was able to notice the same thing Price did? You know, you would think if he was experimenting with energy output that that might have come up. Now, another aspect of our culture today is deciding what to do about the hierarchy generated by capitalism. We're going to take just a brief detour on this to show how even in man-made processes, Price's law is still in effect. So it's the natural and man-made processes. Now, with capitalism, this is typically cast as a negative outlook on the top 1% of people who hold much of the wealth. Now, while this is typically seen as a clear example of greed, it really is nothing more than Price's law at play yet again. I mean, this also helps explain that the top 1% is always changing. It's not that the same people are holding most of the wealth. The top 1% shifts. It's dynamic. So just like in a company of 9, it may not always be the same three people doing half of the work. Perhaps one of the three gets sick or leaves the company, leaving room for one of the other 6 to come in. Now, since creative output and wealth fluctuates, the top percentage of people holding the wealth constantly changes. However, despite that, there are still going to be people dispossessed by the hierarchy at the bottom in the economy. And Jesus Christ himself realized this. In John 12:8a, it's the first part. This is from the New Living Translation. It says that Jesus says, "You will always have the poor among you." So does this mean that there's nothing we can do? All attempts of a government forcing wealth distribution in the past seem to fail miserably, as we've seen in the 20th century. So what can be done? Jesus had a solution for that, too. It cannot be forced by the government, but individuals should willingly help the dispossessed through charity, love, and personal sacrifice. So Matthew 5:24 from the ESV says, "Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." James 1:27 from the ESV says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Now, on a quick side note, this also shows claims of Jesus being a socialist are absolutely unfounded, as Jesus never taught government intervention in this matter. It's up to the individual by his or her own free will to help the dispossessed if and when they are able. So how do we interpret the numbers 3, 6, and 9 by the Bible and biblical numbers? In 1894, biblical scholar E.W. Bullinger published his book, Number in Scripture, Its Supernatural Design and Spiritual Significance. In the book, Bullinger goes through specific numbers and makes a case for their underlying meaning from the Bible. And when we examine 3, 6, and 9 through Bullinger's interpretation with the idea of hierarchies in mind, we actually find some really interesting parallels. So according to Bullinger, the number 3 stands for that which is solid, real, substantial, complete, and entire. 3 is associated with the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Taking this further from a human perspective, you could think of the number 3 as the perfect ideal. It is that perfect ideal which mankind in his fallen state can never achieve on his own, but must always strive for. It is the top of the 3, 6, and 9 hierarchy. It is the idea of living our lives modeling Christ, knowing we will ultimately fail in this effort in this life, yet by setting our eyes on this impossible goal, we're able to keep climbing up, keep improving ourselves as well as the world around us. Everything in this life will never be perfect, yet we can make it and ourselves a lot better than what it is now. Now, the number 6 is the number of fallen man. We're broken, we're incomplete, in rebellion to God. It's the number of imperfection and humanity without Christ. So man was created on the 6th day, and 6 days were appointed to him for his labor. Therefore, the number 6 is also associated with the labor of man. Taking this further, it's hard work to follow Christ and climb up your own personal hierarchy, to take up your cross and follow him. It's difficult. It's hard work. However, this is by no means impossible. And in fact, it's expected. As hard as it can be sometimes, every day must be looked at as an opportunity to grow, mature, become closer to God, to that highest ideal. If our original state is signified by the number 6, then it's our personal responsibility to make the effort to climb up the hierarchy towards God, perfection, and the highest ideal signified by the number 3. So that leaves number 9. Now, 9 is the last of the single digits, thus marking the end. 9 signifies the conclusion of any matter. It relates biblically to the end of man, finality, and judgment. Judgment is committed unto Jesus as the Son of Man. We get that from John 5:27 and Acts 17:31, among other places. It marks the completeness of all things as to man. It is the judgment of man and all of his works. This is the point where we will all, each individually, know at the end of our physical lives and when we stand before God, if we will climb the hierarchy to Christ or if we will be cast out eternally. Now, many will perish, but few will find peace. It all has to do with what our relationship with Christ was like in our physical lives at the point of death. If we have rejected him and decided to not pursue his ideal, but instead we follow our own, we will become the ultimately dispossessed at the bottom of the eternal hierarchy, which is hell. Yet, if we love Christ, thereby following him, trying to be more like him every day, cultivating a dynamic relationship with him every day, and refusing to fall in line with the rebellious masses of the rest of the world, we will be welcomed into eternity with the open arms of our Heavenly Father. This is the key to the universe. This is the meaning of life and the ultimate answer to any question we might have about God, his creation, or our destiny. That's the meaning of 3, 6, and 9. Matthew 7:13-14 from the ESV says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." So be one of the few. Be one of the few who climbs the hierarchy, who decides to pursue that Christ ideal. Get saved, get a relationship with Christ going, and be with him eternally. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. This was informative and a lot of fun. I had a good time doing this research and presenting it to you today. I would love to know your thoughts on this. Please leave me a comment in the comment section below. Also, I have added some new platforms. Not only am I on DTube and YouTube, but I am also on Reel.video. I've started posting there, and I just registered with Minds.com, and soon I will be starting my profile and getting things going on there, also One Way. So make sure you check all of those out. And thank you all so much. Until next time, love you all. Take care and God bless.
You can help fight against censorship by making a one-time donation or setting up a monthly donation to Josh Peck Disclosure at joshpeckdisclosure.com/donate. Or, for as little as $1 a month, you can become a Peck patron by heading over to patreon.com/joshpeck. As a Peck patron, you will be entered into contests to have your content featured on the Josh Peck Disclosure homepage, contribute chapters to a collaborative book with Josh Peck, and win a special Josh Peck collection full of materials worth hundreds of dollars. Also, for as little as $3 a month, you will have access to free downloads of Josh Peck books, such as Quantum Creation, Cherubim Chariots, and more. Josh Peck Disclosure is viewer-funded. Head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information. Right now, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com, the central hub for everything Josh Peck Disclosure. Every day, you'll get brand new videos, podcasts, updates, and more. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Also, make sure you click the bell and select the option to always be notified when a new video is released. Follow Josh Peck Disclosure on Twitter at jpdisclosure and get involved with the show on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Disclosure. If you're on Steemit and prefer DTube, follow Josh Peck at steemit.com/@Josh Peck and make sure to upvote all Josh Peck Disclosure DTube videos. Keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com for news, information, updates, and more.